To the person who feels like you have to be flawless to be faithful, this one's for you. You read your Bible, you pray, you serve at the church, you try so hard to be patient and kind, to control your tongue, to do all the right things. So why do you feel anxious, wondering if your efforts are pleasing God? You feel like you're on a spiritual treadmill, running as fast as you can, but getting nowhere. You're exhausted, burnt out, and there's that quiet, nagging fear in the back of your mind that you're just not good enough, and you never will be. I want to get a little vulnerable today because I think what I've wrestled with is something you can probably relate to, and God wants to set us free. Today, we're going to look at a Bible passage from Deuteronomy that assures us God's command is not out of reach. Yeah, the Old Testament actually records God telling his people that his commands were not too difficult for them to hear and understand in order to obey. So why the struggle to be good enough for God? What if I told you this entire perfection trap is based on a lie, that it's a weight God never designed for you to carry? Escaping it is simpler than you might think, but it's going to require a radical shift in how you see everything. The freedom the gospel offers isn't about trying harder. Freedom comes when you grab a hold of one crucial, life-giving truth. And we're going to dig into that truth today, so stay with me. Welcome to Believe and Speak. I'm Shauna Marie Bryant, and if you're ready to break free from the perfection trap, you've come to the right place. I would love for you to subscribe and tap or click on the notifications so that you know when I release a new episode. Now today, I want to ease the burden of striving to be a good Christian. God spoke these words to Moses, who recorded them in Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. And I'm going to read from the New International Version. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. For anyone who has ever struggled to know exactly what God expects or how you can know how to obey him, I long for you to believe and speak this truth. God's command is not out of reach. I don't have to memorize dozens and dozens of laws or even 10 commandments in order to obey God. The Bible assures me that God's command is not out of reach. Let's break down what the perfection trap actually looks and feels like. It is so much more than wanting to do a good job. Striving for perfection underscores a deep-seated belief that your performance directly impacts God's love for you. It often shows up as an all-or-nothing kind of thinking. You make one small infraction. Let's say you lose your temper or you skip your quiet time, and then boom, the entire day becomes a spiritual failure. You feel like you have to start over from scratch tomorrow. Instead of seeing a mistake as just a single moment, you see it as a reflection of your entire identity. You don't just make a mistake, right? You feel like you are the mistake. Now, this kind of thinking keeps us locked in an exhausting cycle of self-criticism and pressure. My friend, God's love for you is unconditional. Trying to measure up to performance-based love creates this constant low-grade anxiety in our relationship with God. We become afraid of messing up because we secretly believe that if we do, God will be disappointed, angry, or that he'll pull away his blessings from us. So we start to pull away from God because we don't feel worthy enough to be in his presence. We think that we need to get ourselves cleaned up before we can come to him. So we perform, we strive, we work, we run ourselves into the ground trying to earn an approval that we have already been given. We believe the lie that God's commands are out of reach. But today's declaration is designed to come against that lie. God's command is not out of reach. Will you please say that with me now? God's command is not out of reach. The perfection trap isn't just exhausting, it's spiritually lethal. It turns the life of faith, which is meant to be about relationship, into a job. It replaces the joy of walking with God with the pressure of performing for God. It makes you feel like you're running a race that you can't finish, let alone win. And here's the hard truth. This perfectionism, this intense focus on our own effort, can actually be a form of pride. It's a subtle belief that we can, through our own strength, make ourselves righteous and acceptable to God. And that right there is the heart of the lie. Breaking free begins with accepting the fact that God's love for you is unconditional, but that's not all. The Bible also makes it clear that God's grace is a free gift. The real twist in all of this striving is that it distracts us from the gospel. We forget the good news of grace and grab onto a bunch of behaviors and expectations that we have to follow. Legalism is nothing new. Paul asked the Galatian church this piercing question: are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Ouch. Think back to the moment when you first came to faith. How did it happen? Was it because you finally achieved some level of moral perfection? Did you present God with a flawless resume? Of course not. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. When you first came to God, you came admitting, I can't. Only you can, right? So why, after starting our walk in surrender, do we think we have to continue our walk in our own strength? Here's how we get caught in the perfection trap. We believe our salvation is a free gift, but our sanctification, the process of becoming more like Christ, is something we have to earn, we have to strive for. Now, we admit we needed Jesus to get to heaven, but we think that the day-to-day godly living requires grueling self-effort. We take the yoke of Jesus, which he promised is easy and light, and we trade it for the heavy, crushing burden of perfectionism. Why do we do that? We already learned that God's grace is a free gift. The Bible is clear. Our own righteous deeds are like filthy rags before a holy God. Chasing perfection in our own strength is like trying to pay off an infinite debt with funny money. It's pointless. And worse than pointless, it cancels out the grace of God. If righteousness could be gained through our own efforts, my friend, then Christ died for nothing. This striving for a work that has already been finished leads to burnout. It makes us forget the new identity God has already given us. So, how do we break free of this perfection trap? I'll give you a clue. The answer is not try harder not to be a perfectionist. That's just another form of striving, amen? If you've been distracted by striving, it's time to return to the gospel of grace. Because of Jesus, perfection is not a pinnacle that you can strive to achieve. It's a promise that's already yours. You can read all about this promise of perfection in Hebrews 10, 10 through 16. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Oh, the last part of those verses reminds me of today's declaration. God's command is not out of reach. It is in our mouth. It is on our hearts, and it is written on our minds. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, God the Father no longer sees you as flawed, imperfect, right? He sees you as perfectly righteous because you are clothed in the perfection of his son, Jesus. Does this mean that we're never going to struggle with sin again? No. But our struggles don't change our identity. In God's eyes, our imperfections aren't disqualifying flaws. They're opportunities for us to walk in humility and for his strength to be made perfect in our weakness. This is the huge difference between self-improvement and being transformed by Christ. Rather than saying, "I have to fix myself," we say, "I can't, but he can." The Christian life isn't about behavior management. It's about abiding. Think of the vine and the branches in John 15. A branch doesn't strive to produce fruit. It doesn't grit its teeth and strain to make grapes. It simply stays connected to the vine. Its one job is to abide, to rest, and draw life from the source. The fruit is the natural result of that connection. In the same way, our work is to abide in Christ, to rest in his finished work, to trust him, to surrender our exhausting efforts and depend on his power. When we focus on the relationship, the good works and the service will naturally flow from that place, and they won't feel like a burden. If you and I could crawl up into God's lap, would he push us off? No more than a vine pushes away a branch that's producing fruit. I am way more apt to jump off of his lap. I'm the one who decides it's time for me to get busy. I'm the one to say, "I've lingered here long enough, God. Now I need to start bearing fruit for your glory." Now, don't get me wrong. I love sitting in the presence of God, but I also love serving him. Somehow in the noise and hustle of my striving, God has been gently teaching me to focus less on bearing fruit and more on simply abiding with him. I don't have to strive to be where God has called me to be and to do what God has called me to do. I simply need to remain where he is. I want you to imagine crawling up in God's lap for just a minute. Can you remain past the point of feeling squirmy? You know what it's like when someone gives you a hug and then holds you just a little bit longer than you feel comfortable? God will never make you squirm by holding you in his presence longer than you choose to remain? Will you surrender the striving and return to the gospel of grace? It takes intention. You've got to refocus from your performance to the promised perfection that is already yours because of Jesus. My friend, you are holy, spotless, and blameless, not because of who you are or what you've done, but because of whose you are and what he's done. Breaking free from the perfection trap won't happen with a one-time fix. I promise you, it is a daily battle of taking your thoughts captive and anchoring your identity in what God says about you, not what your performance says. So, let me give you some practical steps before I pray and wrap this up. Step one, recognize the lies and renew your mind. Perfectionism is fueled by the lies that you believe about yourself and about God. When the voice of self-criticism starts berating you, shut it down with the truth of Scripture. When you feel like you're not enough, replace that lie with a declaration of truth from Scripture. Hey, that's what Believe and Speak is all about. Step two, embrace imperfection as an opportunity for grace. It's time to let go of the need to have it all together. When you mess up, instead of berating yourself, repent and run to God, and then simply rest in his presence. Your mistakes are invitations to experience God's grace in a whole fresh new way. Step three, lean on prayer and community. Surrender the need to control your circumstances. Tell God, I can't do this today. I need you. And then find a supportive Christian community where you can be honest about your struggles. Bring the hidden pressure of performance into the light and allow your trusted community to remind you of the gospel of grace. The goal of the Christian life is not perfection. It's faithfulness. And faithfulness isn't about flawless performance. It's about trusting in the one who is flawless. God's love for you is unconditional. His love doesn't hang on your performance. God's grace is a free gift. His grace meets you right where you are, not where you think you should be. Return to the gospel of grace. It's where the anxiety of striving finally gives way to the peace of abiding. It's where you stop trying to earn God's love and you start living freely and joyfully out of his love. Perfection isn't a prize that you achieve. It's a person you receive, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I pray for every person listening who has been striving to please you. We're your children, and we please you. Obviously, Lord, we want to obey you. But when Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me, he didn't mean it like some sort of command. He meant when we love you, we do want to please you. And sometimes that means just resting and abiding to get our next assignment. Other times, yes, it means getting up and doing the things you've called us to do. Lord, you give us discernment through your Holy Spirit. You guide every step. I love the scripture that says, keep in step with the Spirit. And so because you've commanded us to do that, Father, you will also empower us to obey that. Keep us from the lure of perfectionism, from the righteous sounding words that make us want to please you. You've already accepted us through your Son, Jesus. You've saved us by grace, and you sanctify us through your word. And so it's spending time in your word, Father, where we become more like Jesus. And so, Father, help us to do that. Help us to, again, remember that you gave us the Sabbath rest for us. You didn't create us for the Sabbath. You made the Sabbath for us. So help us to rest in your presence and know that you are already making us perfect. You will complete the good work you began. And so we ask for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for hanging with me to the end. I am sure someone you know needs to hear this message of grace today. So do please share this with them. And if this message resonated with you, it would mean a lot if you would tap or click that like button and then subscribe so that you keep getting more content about the freedom that we have from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until next time, my friends, cease striving. Rest in his love. And remember, your tongue has power. Use it for good.